Let's stand this evening as we read the scriptures to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Standing, if we are able, we will start in verse number 1. We'll look at a familiar story Jesus gives here. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. I'll read along, you read silently as we follow. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand you here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they had received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Why didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own. Is thine eye evil because I am good? And let's pray. Father, bless us in these few minutes we have together as we look at your word and we see what you have for us here. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to settle in, Lord, and to listen to what you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I believe if you'll look, the context of this parable goes back to the end of the previous chapter, where Peter asked Jesus about what they would get as a reward because he and all the disciples forsook all and followed him. Jesus assures them, as they ask, that they will be taken care of, that they'll be rewarded, they'll have an important place in his eternal kingdom. But I think to get their attitudes right, he then brings this story to mind. Here's what happens. The master of the vineyard goes out and he's hiring people to work. He's going to hire them on a day basis, and then he will pay them at the end of the day. So we're short a few guys here. Stand up, brother. So he goes out at 6 in the morning. They're going to work a 12-hour shift. And so he hires the first guy. He sees this group of guys. They're out there waiting at a place where people that would need laborers would come, kind of like Home Depot would be, okay? Just throw that out there. And he goes, and there's a group of guys, says, I need some guys to come work in the vineyard today. All right. They make an agreement, 1 penny. That's your basic day's wage. That was fair compensation for what they were doing. So they make an agreement, boom, 1 penny. So they agree, you have a seat. So he's 12. 3 hours later, 3 hours into the shift, he goes, I think I'll go get some more workers. So he goes, and he finds Brother Pineda really at Home Depot, and he mows lawns, thanks. He finds Brother Pineda, so he hires him at 6 in the morning. He goes, he hires Brother Pineda and another group at 9 in the morning and says, listen, I need some laborers. Why don't you come, and I'll pay you what's ever fair. So they don't make an agreement. Brother Pineda's group says, fine, they come. Then he goes over to this group, the worst group, stand up, Brother Beck, and he goes to this group at, so he went at 6, he went at 9, he goes at 12, and he hires Brother Beck's group and just says, listen, I need some laborers. You come, I'll pay you what's right. Okay, we'll trust you. We'll come work. Boom, they come work. Then he goes and finds another group that looks a lot like the first group, but they're not. Stand up. So he was 6 o'clock. He was 9 o'clock. 12 o'clock.
He's not dead. We next one.
All right, so we go here. So I'm sorry, 6, 9, 12. I can count by three. Here we go. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Says, hey, I'll tell you what. I need some more laborers. Why don't you guys come out? I'll pay you what's fair. Like, okay, we'll trust you. Have a seat. Then he goes out 2 hours later, 5 o'clock, 1 hour before quitting time. Sees another group and says, listen, why don't you guys come into the vineyard, work? Whatever's fair, I'll give you. These guys, all right, you know, no one's hired us. We'll go do it. And so they come work. Boom. Well, at the end of the day, that's when they would get paid. They didn't pay them daily. They didn't pay them monthly, weekly. They'd pay them at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, they line them all up. Here's the guys that started at 6. Here's the guys that started at 9. Here's the guys that started at 12. Here's the guys that started at 3. Here's the guys that started at 5. They worked 1 hour. So the owner comes to the guys that work 1 hour, and he gives them a penny, a day's wage. And he goes down and pays all the other guys. The guys over here that worked all day thought, wow, if he's paying that guy who worked 1 hour a penny, imagine what we're going to get. That's exactly what they got. They got a penny. You can imagine what happened. They started, believe it or not, griping. They didn't get what they thought they were going to get. They got what they agreed to. And they were not happy about it. What is the point of the parable? Well, several things. It's not talking about salvation, because salvation is not something you work for. Salvation is something that is given freely apart from anything that you would ever do. I don't think it's talking about reward, because everybody received equal. I think it's going back to what he was talking about when Peter and them asked, hey, what are we going to get for serving you in the kingdom? The parable is emphasizing having a right attitude in serving our God. You see, the first guys were upset because they made an agreement and they got exactly what they agreed to. The other guys didn't. They just took the guy's offer. One of the greatest things we could ever do with our life is to serve God. And I don't mean, you know, full time. Oh, I'm assistant pastor. I'm this, I'm that. I'm not talking about that. Okay? I'm just talking about every Christian is supposed to serve God. And I think that's the greatest thing we can do. By the way, it's a responsibility of all Christians. It's a responsibility of all of us to love our Lord enough to say, what do you want me to do? Now, listen, I'll tell you, it's what God wants you to do tomorrow. I'm having a word of knowledge here. If you have a job tomorrow, God wants you to go to your work. That's free. What's God's will for my life tomorrow? Well, if your boss expects you to be at work at 7, I imagine God's will is for you to be at work at 7. Okay? So we try to make everything spooky. By the way, don't try this on your boss. I was on my way to work, and God gave me a vision. God may have given you a vision, but you're going to get an unemployment check soon. Okay? But God wants us to do. So God wants us to do, give our life to him and serve him and to love him and to trust him enough to do that. But what happens sometimes if we're not careful, we get frustrated in our service for God. Usually that happens when we start comparing ourselves to other people. By the way, we talked about this morning, when we talked about the payday that'll come. God doesn't judge us based on what other people do. God judges us based on what he wants us to do. Okay, we all have individual responsibility, and God has something for each of us to do, and let's fulfill his will for our life, and let's not worry about what other people are doing. That was the problem with the guys here. They had a bad attitude. Now, looking at these verses, I want to give you some do's and don'ts in serving God. Just straight from the verses here, that'll help us to have the right attitude. You can do the right thing with the wrong spirit. Okay, and by the way, let me just say something. That is not helpful. You know, if sometimes you feed the kids something, it's like you're going to eat that whether you like it or not. Now, you may eat it, but you probably don't like it, okay? And you, my grandparents, you know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, when we ate their house, you had to ask to be dismissed from the table. And sometimes my grandmother, and she was a very good lady, but I thought on days like this, she was very evil. She served like eggplant. It's awful. Now, fortunately, as I mentioned, there was a floor heater there, and it went right down the floor heater very nicely. Because if I asked my grandfather, can I go? So he'd look at your plate and say, no. And when grandpa said no, you know what he meant? He meant no. But sometimes I had to eat some of the stuff she threw out there. And can I just tell you something? We were not having a good time. We were eating it because I saw Grandpa sitting there, like, front and center, we'll eat it. That's not how we ought to serve God. We ought to have a right spirit. But if we're not careful, our spirit starts to go a little helter-skelter. We see things in a wrong light. How can we have a right spirit in serving God? Well, let me give you several do's and don'ts. Number one, don't worry about what you're getting. Don't worry about what you're getting. You see, the very first group he went to, when he asked them to come work for him, they secured an agreement, binding contract. We'll work for you for a penny a day. They hashed it out. Boom, we're done. Let's go. 12-hour day. Every 3 hours when he went out, except for the last when he went out after 2 hours, when he secured workers, there wasn't an agreement made. There was just like, hey, why don't you come work in my field, and whatever is right, I'll pay you. They're like, fine, let's go work. They weren't as concerned about, now they wanted to get something, but they weren't so concerned about it that they had to have an agreement up front. The first group secured an agreement. The second group responded to an offer. Why don't you come work? No one's hired you. Let's go. I'll hire you, and I'll pay you what's right. And they said, you're giving us an offer. We have no, let's go. Let's take it. Why do we serve God? Is it about an agreement, or is it about a relationship? We serve God out of a relationship status. Because he loves us, and he saved us, and he's our Savior, and because he loves us, and because we love him, and because he wants us to serve him, that's a good reason to serve him, not for what you're going to get out of it. If you want to work in a relationship, have an agreement. By the way, I don't think there's even our church that has one of these, but a prenuptial agreement when you get married. Can you spell divorce? Okay. Could you imagine, sweetheart, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I couldn't imagine living without you. Sign here. What does this say? Oh, it's just standard. I got it straight from CLA. Yeah, it's just standard legal. What's that? Well, just in case it doesn't work out, everything will be divvied up in advance. What was mine, it'll still be mine. And what was yours will still be yours. It's okay. I think in there it says you can keep the ring. That is a disaster waiting to happen. Okay? When you get married, you're all in on the relationship. You're not looking for a back door and what happens if I lose. Hey, that's not how you go into a relationship. It's about not worrying about what you're getting. What we get from a relationship is a byproduct of what we put into it. It's what we put into it. By the way, God owes us nothing, and we'll get to that in a minute. Too many are worried about what they're getting before they get on board with anything. Hey, I'm looking to hire you. Well, what's my benefit package? By the way, we have an excellent benefit package for our employees here. You show up to work, you get paid. Excellent benefit package. We're worried about what we're getting, and I'm not saying we should worry about a little bit about that, but it's always, well, what's in it for me? Well, let's look at church membership. Now, we wouldn't be real good at recruiting people to membership, would we? Say, well, if I become a member of that church, what's in it for me? We have a wonderful benefit package for you. First of all, if you become a member, we're going to encourage you to park off-site. We're going to have a brand new parking lot back here, and we're going to say, isn't that parking lot nice? We don't want you to park there. We want you to save that for visitors. You go park over here by the bushes, or you can park by the blue line, or you can park over on 33rd. Don't park in front of the neighbor's house. And if you park in the wrong spot and Mr. Police Officer's over here, they're going to give you a ticket. That's what you get. That's a perk of being a member of Pacific Baptist Church. By the way, we don't advertise that on the website. You know what else you get to do? If you're a member of our church, we're going to help you to ask pay the bills. Yeah, it's called tithing. We're going to say, come aboard, and all the nice things you've been enjoying now, we want you to follow God and help us pay for those things. Isn't that a blessing? By the way, it is a blessing. Okay, you say, I don't believe that. Look, start putting money in the offering plate. You'll see. All right, that didn't go over very well. Next. But you get, listen, we're going to say, listen, this is my church now. And if it's my church, I ought to help pay for it. I've mentioned it many times during stewardship. We were looking, Pastor and I, years ago at the old building. We went down a block to a, an Elks Lodge, and we were looking to rent part of it for Sunday school space. And so we went down there, and pastor's meeting with the guys, and I'm just kind of looking around, and on the front, right when you walked in the building, there was a little membership board, and it had the names of the members who weren't paying their dues. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The following members are behind in their dues, and it had their names. I'm thinking Backslidden Bullwinkles. They got them right there. Like, wow, we couldn't get away with that. The following members have quit tithing. Web page number 4. Okay, no. But that's what your membership package. You know what else you get to do? Not only do you get to park off-site, not only do you get to help pay for everything around here and help pay for the building and help pay to missions, you get to help do the work. You get to miss some services and go work in the nursery. Some of you get to help and go teach Sunday school. And some of you that are really blessed, you get to drive a bus with a bunch of wonderful, quiet, sitting up straight, hands on their lap, bus children. Say, that's, I drive a bus and that's not my bus route. I know, that's none of them. But you get to help do the work. You get to shoulder some of the responsibility. Let me just ask you something. That doesn't sound like a good sales pitch. There's something good in there for you. You get fellowship. You get friendship. You get people that will love you. You get people that are here for you. I get all that. But there's a responsibility behind being a church member. It's not just coming in and saying, I'm a member of the church. What can you do for me? Now, we'll bend over backwards to help our own. But that's not what it's about. Don't worry about what you're getting. What happens when you commit your life to Christ? You get to make His value yours. You get to make the way that you live the way He wants you to live. You get to take up His cross daily. There is responsibility. But you know what? It's all good. We don't understand, but that's where the joy comes from. The joy comes from just saying, I'm not in this for anything. I'm just going to leave it up to Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm not worried about what I'm getting. Let me just say this. God will take care of you. Number two. So don't worry about what you're getting. Number two, do trust the master. You see, when he goes out and he talks to these others, the phrase, I think it's in verse number 8, and I think it's probably several times, whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Their willingness to go into the field and work was based on their trust of the one who was hiring them. They bought into him and that he would do what is right. And because of their trust in him, they decided to go into the field and to work. They responded because of that trust. By the way, let me just say this. You can trust God. You can. And by the way, it seems like the younger they are, the harder it is for them to trust God. Now, I know when you kids are in junior high and stuff, man, I'll give my life to God. I'll tithe if I made $1 million. And then something happens when you get out of high school. You get a job. Now that's going to be put to the test. Now you start looking and saying, well, I have options for my life. I would rather live for myself. I would rather do my own thing. And after all, I want to do what I think would make me happy. Well, wait a minute. Do you trust the master? Do you think God is going, if you give your life to him and say, here, Lord, I'm going to follow and do what you want me to do. Do you think God is going to put you somewhere and have you do something that you would hate? He's your heavenly father. I think he knows that exact spot where you should be. I think he knows that exact thing that you should be doing with your life, and I think he knows that exact thing that would bring you joy like you've never had before. But it takes faith to trust him enough to say, I think I'll do that. That's where it all comes from. As a new Christian, for me, it took faith for me to step out and start doing what God wanted me to do in my life. You see, when I walked into church as a spiritual-wise, I was a new Christian and a teenager just out of high school, and I walked in, and I'm hearing all these different things that from the Bible and what God wanted me to do, and that was not how I lived my life. That was not how I grew up, how I was raised, and I had to make some decisions. Am I going to follow what God wants for my life? And that took faith for me to say, you know what? He knows what is best for me, and if he says that's what I should be doing, I ought to be doing it. That's trust. I had to change, to be honest with you. There was things I had to change. I had to change those I spent time with. There were some people I was spending time with, and when we were together, we weren't good for each other. And I had to change that. I had to change what I was doing with my time. I had to change what I was going to do with my life. And ultimately, it happened because I had trust. I know that whatever God does, whatever God wants for my life, it is best. But I'm not going to take that step out and do what he wants me to do if I do not trust him. I've read that the African impala can jump about 10 feet high and can jump a distance of several feet, about 20 feet. But yet if you go to a zoo, you will see that animal caged in with a fence that is only 3 feet high. The reason the impala will not jump out is because there's one thing. They are very fearful animals, and they will not jump unless they can see where they are going to land and be comfortable with it. And so they set it up in such a way that the impala can't tell where they're going to land, and even though it's a small fence, they won't jump because they're fearful about where they're going to land. That's how most of us live our lives. We've got to know everything's got to be hashed out. Well, what's going to happen 5 years from now? Let me tell you what's going to happen 5 years from now. I don't know. Wow, that's precise. It is. Well, where's my life going to be? I don't know. I know this. If you get up tomorrow and serve God, and you get up the next day and serve God, you get up the next day and follow what he wants you to do, 5 years from now, you'll be smack dab where he wants you to be, and you'll be fine. But that takes trust. And that's what he wants us to do, is to trust him. God has the ability to take care of his own. Number three, it's Thanksgiving time. Do thank God that he wants you. Verse 7, he goes out and talks to some of the workers, and they said unto him, he says, well, how come you're not working? And they said, because no man had hired us. He goes, I want you, let's go. I'll pay you what's right, let's go. Nobody else wanted those guys. They're all just standing around. But there was somebody that wanted them and went out and hired them. Hey, you ought to be thankful that God wants you. Now, God does not want us because of anything that is inside of us. None of us can ever sit around and say, you know what, man, when God got Steve Myers, what a deal he got. No, when he got Steve Myers, he got ripped off like a used car salesman. Okay, oh, this car's wonderful. What's the warranty? The warranty's until you get it off the curb. That's it. And that's the same with you. Now, some of you are good people. Most of you are good people. You're out, you know, you try to do the right thing and all that. Can I just tell you something? Compared to God, none of us match up. I just always remember that phrase in Psalm, what is man? We're nothing. You know what we are? We're made out of dirt. You know what that means? When you're wet, you're mud. Not worth much. Except that the fact that God values you. That's where our worth comes from, that God places a high value on us. When it comes to serving our Lord, we must not see it as a burden. We must see it as a privilege that he wants us to serve him. Don't listen to other people. You know, if you listen to some of these talk shows and listen to some of this, not, you know, they know more than God, and they got all this. They know nothing. Don't worry about all that. You got to say, I'm serving my God, and he wants me, and if he wants me, I'm going to serve him. We have this Christian superstar mentality. Do you know that and some of them are Christians. You know, like, you know, this guy, he's a Christian, he's a football player and he's a Christian. Or this guy's a baseball player and he's a Christian. Usually, you know what that means? That means that somewhere along the lines, he's going to spit in God's face publicly. That's just all there is to it. I remember many years ago, we used it one time as illustration here, and then we read the rest of the story. Barry Sanders, they had all these athletes that were Christians, you know, and Barry Sanders was tithing to his church, and he was part of this group that was called Athletes for Abstinence. And then something happened to change his mind. His girlfriend got pregnant. Guess what? The people on the news jumped all over him. And instead of him saying, you know what, I was wrong, blah, 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 you know what he said? Well, I've evolved in my beliefs. You know, God got a black eye on that day. God doesn't need superstars to serve him. Because fact of the matter is, the higher they go, the more of a problem they're usually going to cause for Christ. That's just all there is to it. God needs regular, everyday people to serve him. Yes, if these people are sincere and they'll come on board, that's great. But let's not worry about that. Why don't we worry about the fact that God wants us? God wants to use regular, everyday people to serve him. That's our theme this year. We're coming to the end. Do all to the glory of God. Why? When people come to our church, sometimes we have visiting preachers and they're very kind about our church. Oh, your church is spoken of and all this. And Mike Johnson said, everybody says it. Listen, if someone says nice things about our church, you know, we ought to say like, wow, if they only knew us. It's, oh, this is a great church. Okay. And I think it is a great church. You know why it's a great church? Not because of any of us in here. It's because of God. And we have a group of people in our church that say, you know what? I don't need to be a big shot. I'm glad God's using me. And if we can do something to bring honor and glory to God, let's do it. Thank you for being like that. Number four, don't think you deserve more. I like the first guys are sitting there, you know. Man, they only work 1 hour. Man, we're going to get a lot of money here. And then they get a penny. They're like, what? Why don't we get more? But when the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Now they had no right to complain. You know why they had no right to complain? They knew up front what they were getting. They entered into a compact. You work, you get a penny. The boss brought them a penny, now they're going to gripe. It's like, what's that all about? Isn't that what you said you would work for? Isn't that what you agreed to before you came on the property to work? And isn't that what you received? Why are you complaining? Because they think that they deserved more. By the way, that's a bad place to be at. Well, you know what, God? I think you should give me more. God doesn't owe us anything. Anything God gives you, if you're thankful for anything that God gives you, if he gives you more, you'll really be thankful. But if you're always griping about what you got, you wouldn't be happy if you got 10 times as much. A griper is a griper. That's all there is to it. A person that complains will complain no matter what they got. That's just how we are. That's being discontent. Well, I should have got this. No, you shouldn't have. If you're a Christian, here's really what you should have got. Here's really what I should have got. Hell for all eternity. Okay, let's start there. That's what I deserve. And you know what? I'm not going to get that. Wow, anything else is gravy. Anything else is over the top good. And God's been good. Listen, the reason we don't think God is good to us is because we don't stop and take time to dwell on what's going on in our life. Now, if you're like me, we have a tendency sometimes to focus on the negative. How many of you kind of like that or like that? You see you come into the house, it's clean, but you see the one toy in the corner. What? You know, there's a big white sheet of paper with a black dot. You don't see all the white, you see the black dot. How many of you like that? Anybody, come on now. That's how we are. We have to purposely make ourselves say, it's not that bad. Our initial reaction is, what's going on here? That's a bunch of nonsense. It's not that bad. God's taken good care of us. Let's not gripe about what we don't have. Let's thank God for what we do have. You don't deserve more. That's the mantra of our modern New Age Christianity. People get saved and we say, man, God's got a wonderful plan for your life. Everything, once you trust Jesus, everything's going to be honky-dory. Maybe not. You may still get sick. You may still get fired from your job. Something bad still might happen. That doesn't mean God does not love you. God will take care of you throughout it all. But I think we set people up for this American type of Christianity where you're saved, everything's going to be wonderful, God's going to make you rich. It's not going to happen. God will take care of you, and you'll choose how he takes care of you, but he takes care of all of us. But we get selfish. Don't think you deserve more. Number five, don't gripe about what you get. And when they had received it, the penny, they murmured against the good men of the house. They murmured. They started griping and complaining. They ought to focus on the fact that they were hired in the first place. But you know what they're doing? They're complaining. They're griping. there's just something about that kind of spirit that grates on me. No matter what, you just always got something to gripe about. You know, well, the lights in the church are, some people call it, the lights in the church aren't bright enough. Oh, the lights in the church are too bright. Well, the auditorium's too cold. It probably is. That one's right. You know, how come I have to park at Blue Line? Because we don't have a parking lot. I mean, there's always something to gripe about. How come the offering plates are so big? Because you give so much. You know, how come this is that? How come the color of the carpet is green? Because it was on sale. You say, what kind of carpet do you have for the new building? We already have it. We got you. How'd you choose the color? Here's how we chose the color. We had a color committee get together, and they all prayed and fasted all night long, and God gave them a color. No, you know how we got it? The carpet mill called and said, this company ordered a certain color carpet for their hotel, and they backed out the last minute. We got all this carpet, and you guys want it for $9,000? And we said, done. That's how we decided the color. I have no idea. I'm colorblind. But someone said it's a nice color. Okay, we didn't get pink. It's nice. Don't worry about it. You're not going to come in. It's like, oh, no, it's not like that. It's nice. Has a nice design on it, I think. The back of it looks nice, but but people gripe about everything. That's why we don't have a flower committee. We barely have flowers. Why? If you have a flower, look, committees are just, you have a committee, five people want this color, four want that color, the other one don't. It's disaster. People can find a reason to gripe. I can find a reason to gripe. How do you know? Because I do it every day. We can find a reason to gripe about something, but let's not go there. Don't gripe about what we get. Again, where does the griping for what we get usually come from? Well, because they looked at the first guys that got paid. They're like, man, I could have sat outside for 11 hours doing nothing and then get hired and work 1 hour and get paid the same pay that I got. They were comparing themselves to others. That isn't what God had for them. God had something different. People all the time aren't content with who they are. You ever notice when you're a children are like, I can't wait till I'm a teenager, and teenagers are, I can't wait till I'm a young adult, then young adults are, I can't wait till I'm married and I have a family, and then that happens, and it's like, whoa, what happened here? Then I want to be established adult in my life, and then you get older and say, I want to be younger all of a sudden. And you got some 70-year-old guy like, hey, dude, what's going on? That doesn't work. You know, the problem is nobody's happy with where they're at. If you're a child, we should be happy being children. If you're a teenager, be happy being a teenager. If you're a young adult, God bless you. If you are married, really, God bless you. Wherever part of life you're in, be thankful for that area of your life. Don't gripe about it. Number six, we must hurry. Don't worry about position. Verse 12, saying, those that have wrought with 1 hour, thou hast made them equal unto us. Notice that, equal. They're the exact same as us. We've been here for 12 hours, they were here for 1 hour. How come you, they're equal. You know what can happen in a church sometimes? Because if you're reaching people, you have new people coming in all the time. They start growing for God. They start going places. And, you know, you can start getting a little jealous. Well, you know, I've been here at this church for 12 years. Thank you. We're glad you've been here for 12 years. But don't get upset with someone that's been here for 2 years that takes off for God. You ought to be thankful for them. Well, you know, how come that person's a Sunday school teacher? I have no idea. That's maybe because God wanted them to be a Sunday school teacher. Why don't we just all be thankful for where God puts us? It doesn't matter what position you have, just whatever position, place God puts you in, go for it. That's all. Be thankful for where you're at. But we're so position conscious. How come this person's there and I'm here? I don't like people with big shot personalities, personas. Hey, how you doing? I'm not into that. You know, I have trouble with the Christian, they make their CD, and on their CD, it's a big picture of themselves, you know. And at the bottom, really small, Bill Johnson sings about God. Okay, it's like, you know, Steve Myers Ministries. Hey, I'm serving God. Come see my ministry. If it's your ministry, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I hope it's God's ministry. Okay? We don't need big shots. You know what we need? We need people that say, where do you want me? Plug me in somewhere. Let's go. I'll be part of the team. I don't have to be in charge. I don't have to do this. Where do you think I'm best? Let's plug in. Let's go. That's what you want. Don't worry about position. We got to hurry. Number 7, don't worry about what others do. It's the same thing. They have wrought but 1 hour, and we have borne the heat. We have borne the burden and the heat of the day. You know, we look around what we're doing and say, how come he's not doing anything? Well, he's not there yet. And don't worry about it. As we talked about this morning, there's a payday. God will take care of you, and God will take care of him. Why are you worried about him? Okay? I remember many years ago, I had all these responsibilities. You know, I'm pastor. Hey, you know, here's a responsibility I want you to take care of. And I was thinking, I'm busy. I thought, I'm going to try this. Hey, how about brother so-and-so? I think that he may have a little bit more time, and this might be a little more up his alley. And the phone was silent. He's like, brother, I didn't ask him. I asked you. I'm like I said, let's go. Okay. That didn't go over very well. I thought, man, I'm trying. Maybe a 2-for-1 special. But let's not worry about what others are doing. What are you doing? Okay. And by the way, sometimes we get weary in the work and we've been faithful, and maybe someone else comes in and then they drop out. It's like, listen, we need people that are just worried about what they're doing for God and that stay faithful. And by the way, we have a lot of people that stay faithful. So let's not worry about what others do. And then the last thing is this. Do let the master do as he pleases. After they gripe and complain, here's what he said. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is mine eye evil because I am good? Maybe we don't understand this, but God does not check with you before he does something. God doesn't check with me. I'm going to do something. Like, hey, you didn't get approval from me. It's none of my business. I have an inkling that God knows what is best. And everything that God does, this is a good part. Everything that God does is based on the fact that he is good. I mean, he's good. Sometimes people do things and they do it because they're not good. They're doing it for their own self-preservation. They're doing it for what they're going to get out of it at the end. But you know what? God is good. And so everything he does is based on his goodness. We can trust him for that. Now, this would have been hard to do after working 12 hours and watching someone work. They should have said, man, that he was gracious to those guys. We got what we deserve, but wow, what a blessing that he was gracious to those guys. Maybe they needed it more. Kind of hard to think that way. I know. I'm having a hard time buying it. But we should. See, something good happens to somebody. Oh, let me just tell you how God blessed me. And we're like, he didn't do that for me. Now, you don't say that. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. I'm so excited for you. Then we walk away saying, what is going on here? That's how we are. We ought to say, you know what? God's good. My time's coming. It's hard to say, but we ought to do it. He was trying to really, in essence, all he's telling Peter is, listen, you know what, Peter? You're asking about what you're going to get because of all you guys did. Yeah, I got something for you, but don't be a contract worker. Just realize I'm good. Trust me, go out, do your job, do what you're supposed to do, and it's good. God is gracious, and he's generous, and he always does what is right. John F. Kennedy, I like the little phrase he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. By the way, he was a Democrat, believe it or not. I don't think Obama would say that. I don't think anybody would say that. Because you know what we are? We're a generation of me. I want the maximum reward for the minimal amount of effort. I always think of this. When we were in Bible college, as you know, we were working 40 hours a week. We're going to college full time, and the weekends were really from 7 in the morning till 2 in the morning, Monday morning, we're all ministry. Really, literally it was for the guys. No time in the dorms. And we all had jobs, and there was one job all the guys wanted. It was UPS. The guys at UPS worked half as many hours as we worked and made twice as much money. And whenever a guy would, we all applied there. In fact, I think they had a prayer wall outside where we all were. And whenever one of the guys from the dorm would come, I got a job at UPS, none of us thought, amen, brother. We're thinking, I'm working in Hammond, right around the corner from where I'm thinking, I work in South Chicago. I'm making half what that bozo's going to make. working double hours, driving twice as far. But I'd put the fakes, amen, brother. Okay. Listen, obviously the guys that worked at UPS were much weaker Christians. They needed God to baby them. Those of us that could take more, God gave us something else. Took me 20 years to get there. But that's how we are. We can't be, we are so tied up in what everybody else is doing. Listen, let's take our life. Let's say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm here. I'm front and center. I trust you, and I can trust you because I know you're good. I'm not going to worry about what everybody else does. I'm in. What can I do? And let's not be looking around like these men, because it poisons where we're at. Once we get our eyes off of him and we get our eyes on others, poison enters our body, spiritual poison. We don't want to go there, do we? Let's all stand together.